But we have to advertise it and we have to share it. So anyway, that's what we're going to be doing. Tonight's sermon is going to be called Prophecy Fulfilled. And so if we need proof that Jesus was the Messiah, I mean, the evidence is astounding. And we will talk about that. The case for Jesus as God could be the title of this lesson also. And we know Jesus performed miracles. We have people, we have historians that attest to that fact, plus we have the eyewitnesses who wrote it in the Bible. And Jesus taught a new doctrine. I mean, he taught something new, and the people were amazed. On the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "You've heard it said, but I say unto you." And so they were astounded at his doctrine, and they were so astounded, they said, "He taught as one as having authority." And of course, Jesus did have the authority to teach this new doctrine. And we also know Jesus arose from the dead. He died, but yet he arose on the third day, and there were many witnesses to that fact. And so Jesus is now at the right hand of God, as we read in the New Testament. This is where he was placed, at the right hand of God. So Jesus was, Jesus is, and always will be God. And some people want to dispute that fact. There's different groups out there that teach different things, that Jesus was nothing more than a prophet, nothing more than a man, a very good man. But accepting Jesus the man as God is something hard for people to understand. And of course, this is the spirit of Antichrist as well. To deny that the Son of God came to be man is Antichrist. To deny that the man Jesus was God is Antichrist. And so Jesus is God. And so we look at this, and prophecy should be enough proof to prove that Jesus is the anointed Messiah. And Peter reminded his readers. Here's what he said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. "And so as we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart." Even back then in the first century, people were questioning whether this Jesus was the Messiah. And there was a lot of arguments about that. And Paul had a lot of discussions about that. Because Paul was proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah, there were a lot of Jews that hated Paul. They wanted to see him put to death. And they tried on numerous occasions. But Peter is telling these people that this faith that we have can be made more sure. Why? Because we go back and read the scriptures of the past, and they said these things, and now they've come to pass, and we see that it's come to pass in the person of Jesus. All right, we're going to be looking at some passages, and I'm going to go through them pretty quickly. I won't be reading them. But I will be sending out an email later on with all these verses so you can sit down and compare them. And so that's what we're going to do. The prophecy is being fulfilled. See, the Messiah is said will be born in Bethlehem. And we read that in Micah 5 and verse 2. And we see it full come to pass in Matthew 2 and verse 1. The Messiah will be a descendant of Judah. And we know that from Genesis 49 and verse 10 and Luke 3 through 38, Matthew 1, 1 through 17. All right. Great kings will pay homage and tribute to the Messiah. Psalm 72, 10 and 11, and Matthew 2, 1 and 2, and then Matthew 2, 11. The Messiah will be a descendant of David. I mean, Psalm 132, verse 11, Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, and Jeremiah 33, 15, and that is realized in Luke 1, 32 and 33. Like I said, if you can't keep up, I'm going to have them emailed to you. The Messiah will be born of a virgin. We read that in Isaiah 7, 14, and we read in Matthew 1, 18 through 21, that Mary was a virgin when she conceived. Children will be killed in the effort to kill the Messiah. I mean, this was prophesied in Jeremiah 31, 15. And then it came to pass in Matthew 2, 16 and 17. Herod tried to kill all the male infants from the age of 2 years and down. and the Messiah will be taken to Egypt. And we know that's what happened. If you know your Bible story, you know that's what happened. It was prophesied in Hosea 11 and verse 1. And then Matthew 2, 14 and 15 shows it coming to pass. The Messiah will be the Son of God, Psalm 2, 7 and 8, and fulfilled in Matthew 3, 17. The Messiah will be heralded by the messenger of the Lord, Isaiah 40, 3 through 5, and then we see that in Matthew 3, 1 through 3. I mean, this messenger of the Lord was John the Baptist, saying, make way, make ready the way of the Lord. And the Messiah will be anointed by the Holy Spirit. We read that in Isaiah 11 and verse 2, and we read that in Matthew 3, 16 and 17. The Messiah will bring light to the Gentiles, and Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2, and it's fulfilled in Matthew 4, 12 through 16. And Messiah will preach good news to the poor, comfort the brokenhearted, and announce the year of the Lord's favor. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Then in Luke 4, 16 through 21, Jesus announces, yeah, you see it, I'm here, I'm the one. And so, the Messiah will be hated without cause. We know that's the case, Psalm 35, verse 19. But we also read it in John 15, 23 through 25. And Jesus said, not just me, but even my followers are going to be hated without cause. And so the Messiah will make the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the mute speak. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6 tells us that. And that's 600, 700 years before Jesus walked on this earth. And it's fulfilled in Matthew 11, 2 through 6. The Messiah will enter Jerusalem riding a donkey. Zechariah 9 and verse 9. And we see that fulfilled in Matthew 21, 1 through 4, Matthew 21, 6 through 11. He talked about that. And the Messiah will arrive in Jerusalem at a specified time. And Daniel 9, 25, Daniel talked about it. And Galatians 4, 4, Paul says he arrived at the fullness of time, when it was time that God set up. The Messiah will enter the temple with authority. And that's what he did, went and turned the tables. But Malachi 3:1 said that's what he's coming with authority. He's going to have all the authority. Matthew 21, 12 and 13 tells us of that event. The Messiah will be rejected. We know that. Isaiah 53 and 3, and that's fulfilled in John 19, 14 and 15. And back in John chapter 1, he came unto his own and his own received him not. The Messiah will be silent in front of his accusers. And Isaiah 53 and verse 7, and that's fulfilled in Matthew 26, 62 and 63. The Messiah will be rejected by the Jews. Psalm 118 verse 22 and 1 Peter 2, 7, Peter mentions he was rejected by his brethren, but he became the chief cornerstone. All right. The Messiah will be betrayed by a friend. Psalm 41 and verse 9. And then we see the story in John 13, 18 and 19, and then 26 and 27. And the Messiah will be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. We can read that in Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 12. And Matthew 26, 14 and 15 gives the details. And that's what they paid him. The 30 pieces of silver will be thrown in the potter's field. This was prophesied in Zechariah 11 and the verse 13, and fulfilled in Matthew 27, 3 through 8. Now the Messiah will be accused by false witnesses, those bearing false witness. And Psalm 35, 11 tells us that, and Mark 14, 56 shows exactly what was taking place. The Messiah will be beaten, mocked, and spit upon. We know this was his passion that he went through. Isaiah 50 and verse 6, and fulfilled in Matthew 26 and 67. And the Messiah will be beaten, bloodied, and disfigured. And so Isaiah 52, 13 and 14 tells us that, but we read it in John 19, 1 through 3. I mean, he was pretty bad. The Messiah's enemies will pierce his hands and his feet. Psalm 22 and verse 16, fulfilled in John 19, 17 and 18. The Messiah will be mocked and told to save himself. Psalm 22, 7 and 8, fulfilled in Matthew 27, 41 through 44. See, the Messiah will be given vinegar and gall to drink. Psalm 69, 21. And then that's fulfilled in Mark 15, 23, as Jesus laid upon the cross. Now, these things are written in the Psalms, most of these Psalms were written by David, and that was 1,000 years before Jesus walked on this earth. So here's prophecy of someone talking about someone 1,000 years from now. This is what's going to happen. And so, we think about that. The Messiah's enemies will divide his clothes among themselves and cast lots for his garments. We know that's the case. Psalm 22, 17 and 18 talked about this. And that's fulfilled in John 19, 23 through 24. The Messiah's bones will not be broken. This was prophesied in Psalm 34, 19 through 20. And fulfilled in John 19, 31 through 33. They were breaking the legs of the two criminals beside him, but they came to Jesus, saw he was already dead. So they pierced his side just to make sure he was dead. And the Messiah's life will be poured out like water. That's a statement from Psalm 22, 14, but that's what it described when they pierced him like water, John 19 and 34. The Messiah will be struck down and his disciples will scatter. We know what they did after he died. They took him down, they buried him, they started running off. Some were walking to different cities. Some went back to their fishing lifetime and thinking, oh, it's all gone now. So that's what they did. And his disciples did scatter. Zechariah 13 and verse 7 prophesies this, Matthew 26, 31, and then Matthew 26, 56. Explains that. The Messiah will be buried in a rich man's grave. Yes, Isaiah 53 and verse 9 and Matthew 27, 59 through 60. The fellow came up and said, hey, you can Joseph Arimathea, you can bury him in my tomb. And so the Messiah will be killed, appearing to have accomplished nothing, or so they thought. Daniel 9, 26, we'll have that appearance showing. And that's fulfilled, and Peter explained it on his first sermon, Acts 2, 22 through 24. And then Messiah will be raised from the dead. Yes, once again, Psalm 16, 10, Psalm 49, 15. Then we see it happening, Matthew 28, 5 through 7. The Messiah will bear the sins of man and intercede for sinners. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6, Isaiah 53 and 8, and then verses 10 and 12. And Paul explained this is what was happening in Romans 3, 23 through 26. The Messiah will ascend to heaven. Psalm 68, 18, and that's what it says in Luke 24, 51, Jesus carried off into heaven. Messiah will be served by future generations. That's us, folks. Psalm 22, 30, and it's still being done by every generation. Everybody who names the name of Christ and obeys him are fulfilling this. So this will take place until the end of time. So this prophecy is still ongoing, and some prophecies are. So we look at those, and we see there's many prophecies concerning the Messiah. What we have here, there's many prophecies concerning the church as well. And then, of course, there's some prophecies about the end. Well, we're still waiting on that one, because that hasn't got here yet. Some people are teaching, it's already happened. No, you have a hard time convincing me that has already happened. But anyway, they're teaching that false doctrine, and it's gaining a foothold in the Lord's church. So we have to be mindful of that. And there's so many prophecies, and all are fulfilled in Christ, in Jesus, all these prophecies. Now, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, fulfilled all prophecies with the exception of the end times. And the end times prophecy, which we're still waiting for. But the prophecies concerning the Messiah, what he would be like, what would happen to him, what about his church and the establishment of his church, those have all been fulfilled because of Jesus Christ. So we're still waiting on the final. But now when you think about that, what are the odds? What are the odds of so many prophecies fulfilled in one person? Well, it's astronomical. See, we just mentioned 39 prophecies. 39 prophecies, and each one of them has a 50-50 probability in one single life upon this earth. And when you think about, he was going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, how many people of all the people ever lived are going to be born in Bethlehem? Just a small number of people. And so, well, okay, one person, a lot of people could probably fit in that category. But then we start putting in the other facts and things, like he's going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Well, how many people have ridden into Jerusalem on a donkey? Well, probably quite a few, because they didn't have their Porsches and their Audis and their Ferraris to drive into Jerusalem. They had to either ride a donkey or a horse or a camel or a cow or a horse-drawn carriage or something or a chariot. But how many people rode in there? I don't know. I mean, so there's just another thing that maybe several people could fit in this description. How many people are hated by their enemies? Well, there's a lot of people there. A lot of people, we have enemies because we speak the truth. And the world hates us for that. I mean, we didn't do anything to them, but they're going to hate us anyway because we speak the truth and we're telling them what God expects of them. And so, all these things, but we talked about these 39 prophecies, and considering there's over 8 billion on the earth today, we could guess that since the first century, there could have been as many as 100 billion people to whom even one of these prophecies could be fulfilled. And yeah, maybe somebody somewhere could fit in one of these categories. But the trick is getting more people, getting people to fulfill more than one of these categories. See, that's where the impossibility comes in. And that's why it focuses our attention on the Christ. Many people have been treated in a similar fashion as the Messiah was treated. Yeah, how many people were crucified? Thousands upon thousands have been crucified, and ever since that time, they continue to be crucified. We read about it here in the news every now and then. Somebody over there, they don't like Christians, so crucify them. Let them be like their Lord. And people die that way. And so there's people are always mistreated, but Jesus said, blessed are you when people malign you and make fun of you and pick on you and persecute you for my name's sake. So that's something we just have to endure. But that doesn't make us the Messiah. The odds of winning the lottery is 1 in 246 million. And sometimes they say, well, that depends how many people play in the lottery. Well, there's a lot of greedy people out there. So, yeah, there's a lot of people playing the lottery just hoping that they'll win that big one. I mean, the odds of getting struck by lightning is 1 in 16 million. Much better odds to do that, but who wants to get struck by lightning? And the odds of one person fulfilling only one of these prophecies is 1 in 100 billion. See how much? We went from million to billion. I mean, the odds are just tremendous there. And the odds of all 39 prophecies being fulfilled by one individual. Let's kind of look at this. 1 in 549,755,813,900,000. I mean, those are astronomical odds, and I would suggest we add a whole bunch of zeros behind that. Because, really, I mean, depending on which book you're looking at, I mean, there's all sorts of books that talk about the odds of these things, and they use different formulas for these things. But the odds are just so astronomical. Sometimes they have the little, you know, to the power of. I mean, like 1 to the 10th power, to the 50th power, to the 248th power, something like that. Which basically means, however, you put 248 zeros behind this. I mean, that's a lot. And that's lots of one person fulfilling just the 39 that we talked about. See, consider the other prophecies. What do we have? Nothing more than convincing proof that Jesus is, was, and is the Messiah, and that Jesus is God. You need proof. That's all the proof you need. That's what Peter told him. You don't need any more proof than this. This is all the proof that you need. So with all this evidence, our course is simple. Just believe on the Lord Jesus. That's all we have to do. And we are told about these things so that we might believe. You know, that's what John said. These things were written that you might believe. He said, many other signs Jesus did in the presence of many witnesses, but these are written that you might believe. And if we just took John's writing, we would have enough information to believe that Jesus was the Christ. We start throwing in all the rest of the scriptures and all the rest of the gospel accounts, and we start comparing them with what was prophesied anywhere from 500 to 1,300 years before Jesus. Actually, about 1,700 years before Jesus. And if you want to take it back all the way back to Genesis 3:15, we're looking about 2,000 years before Jesus walked the earth. And every prophecy that was made about the Messiah, about this one, it came to pass. It happened. And we have the eyewitnesses that showed those things. So 39 specific prophecies that came to pass and were fulfilled in Jesus. And these were not all the prophecies either. I mean, there are some estimate there are over 250 prophecies concerning the Christ alone. 250. I've heard as many as 283 prophecies about the Christ. And you know, some of them are quite obvious, like Psalm 22. It's definitely talking about one individual enduring all those things. But sometimes they're just slight insinuations about which we could possibly infer that it's talking about the Christ. And so we can do that. And if we, when we study through the scriptures, we go along, we read something, and I'll just say, now what does this remind you of? And somebody, well, that reminds me of when Christ did this or Christ did that. And so it's there. There's subtle hints throughout the Old Testament about the Christ. And the Old Testament is the establishing a prophecy that when this one comes, it will become evident to all. And so that's what Paul tried to get his brethren to see, his Jewish brethren. Hey, listen, here's the Christ. Here's what they said. See, all prophecy written about Jesus was fulfilled in the life of Jesus. It was all fulfilled. All prophecy written about the church is ongoing because it was established. Jesus built his church on the day of Pentecost. It came into existence. The church is still in existence. And so this is an ongoing prophecy that is taking place. The entrance into the church is no different than it was back on the day of Pentecost. In order to get into the church, we must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of our sins, added to the church, and then we have the duty to be faithful to stay in the church. And so that is still ongoing. All prophecy written about the end is yet to come. It hasn't arrived yet, despite what some people might say. And they have a hard time convincing me that that it's already all ended. I mean, they do. See, God's wondrous plan seen and accomplished throughout history. I mean, God had a plan. It tells us in Ephesians 1, he had this plan figured out before the foundation of the world. Before he said, let there be light. God already had it planned. He knew what it was going to take to save men's souls. God knew what men were capable of. He gave them the choice, and he knew they were going to make wrong choices. And so he says they're going to need a Savior. And he had that designed before he even built this world. He had a Savior planned out, and that Savior was Jesus Christ. And so it has been accomplished. It was planned. It was accomplished. Some people use the phrase the scarlet thread of redemption, all the way going back all the way from the very beginning all the way to the end of Revelation. The whole thread there, it's all woven together. and it's talking about Christ. The Old Testament looking forward to the Christ, teaching people about him, being the tutor and the schoolmaster, and then, now that Christ has come, exalting him as God, exalting him as Lord. And that's what we need to do, and we should be doing that until the end comes, whenever that will be. So, if you haven't done so, will you accept Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, as your Master, as your King? A lot of people say they do, but the proof is in how you live your life. It's one thing to be here on Sunday and say, praise the Lord, but then going out in the world and demonstrating to the world that you're praising God and praising the Lord, and Jesus is your Master and King. That's the confession we have to be making all the time, confessing Jesus before others. And yeah, when we do that, we might get a little flack. We might get a little bit of persecution, people making fun of us, people mocking us. And we just have to know, well, Jesus said it was going to happen, so let's just accept it. I mean, we could almost say accept it as a badge of honor because you stood up for your God, you stood up for your Lord, and you accept Jesus as Lord, and you let the world know it. That's what we need to do. Then, yes, we need to be living faithfully so that we don't harm the name of Christ. We've got to be consistent. So we need to believe in the Lordship of Christ. And with this much evidence, one would be a fool to ignore such. I mean, it's there. I mean, it's given to us, and the evidence is there. Like, what more do we need to understand that the Messiah was God? So that's our lesson. Consider that. And we always offer the invitation. And we've given people this evidence that you need to learn more about the Messiah. You need to learn more about who he was and what he did. And we need to learn more about what he taught. Because what he taught is going to judge us in the last day. When we stand before God in judgment, and we will, everyone will, they will stand before God in judgment and give an account of themselves, and the words of Jesus, the words that God has given us, are going to judge us in the end. He's not going to judge us based on how good looking we are or how tall or short we are. He's not going to judge us on how skinny or fat we are. He's going to judge us on who and what we are. So, folks, if we want to be welcomed into that eternal kingdom with those words, well done, good and faithful servant, we need to live right for God, and we don't need to put it off. So, consider those thoughts. We're going to sing an invitation song. If you're subject to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come while together we stand and sing.